sound nice. I like the way you sound.
Well, thanks. Yeah. I like how you sound.
Thank you.
I'm a big fan of you as a podcaster.
Thanks, man.
I mean that.
Thank you.
That's why, you know, that's why when you convinced me to go to the Institute, it wasn't a hard sell.
Yeah.
You were like, we should do this thing, man.
It's funny because they don't even cover podcasting in the Institute. I have to teach people how to podcast, and I don't know how to teach it because nobody taught me.
Right.
I
just, no, you just know yeah. flavor. You know flavor. That's what you yeah. know. You were you yeah, excelled I mean, it, yeah, in it's, flavor. It was your top class. About, oh,
yeah.
But, I mean, that's why it's a waste. That's why you being a professor in the communications class is...
it's a journalism class. Don't call it communications. I got it.
Well, yeah, yeah. No, yeah. You were a professor in stuff.
Yeah.
But not in culinary stuff.
Technically not even a professor. Just
no,
a,
well, I'm
adjunct,
calling
faculty
you.
Adjunct.
I like to call you a professor. Professor Agni.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, it feels good.
It does. It kind of does. It doesn't feel good enough that I'm going to go get a PhD and actually try to compete for it.
Right, right. You don't want to put the work in.
No.
You get the accolades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can handle that.
You're shaping young minds.
Right.
On how to podcast.
That's true.
I'm out there ruining their futures.
Actually, right now they're on spring break, so they're not listening to me right now.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. You get a couple of weeks
which means,
off.
Which means I'm on spring break. Just one.
Yeah, you could say whatever you want about it.
Oh, spring break was a good time.
When you were a kid or now?
Well, I mean, this week is going to be good because I get to go back to just being a regular stay-at-home dad and not like a...
Yeah.
Not a teacher. Although I have to grade a bunch of shit. But I'll catch up on my grading, I think. Maybe, eventually. But being a regular stay-at-home dad when you don't have, like, a lot of other shit to do is good. My kids will be in school, so I'll get to, I don't know, finish watching The Tick.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You're open. You're free. You have right. nothing to do.
I got options.
It is weird, right? That, like, when you start becoming, like, a responsible person, the smallest things sometimes can feel like a vacation. Like, you don't need a real vacation. You just need time away from that thing.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I cover the baseball, and I won't lie. Like, I was completely shocked when the end of baseball season came around, and I was super excited to work for the radio station and do something else. I was like, all right, what am I going to do, Coyotes? Maybe I'll do Little Suns. They're not doing great. They'll send me over to the Suns. Maybe they'll have me do something crazy, like some other sport that I don't know. And they looked at me and were like, baseball will be back before you know it. we'll see you in spring, basically, is what they told me.
Sure enough, here you are.
Oh, my God.
Baseball's, but they're putting carne asada on a hot dog now.
Oh, they're making grilled cheese hot dogs now.
That's weird.
It is weird.
I had a long time ago, my friend Barbara Vandenberg from the Arizona Republic.
That sounds like a fake name.
She's
Did
still
you say
there.
Bubba Vandenberg.
Barbara, not Bubba.
Barbara Vandenberg. That she sounds was, like even more of a
no,
fake name.
No, she's a. Yeah.
Is she a Batman villain? What the hell?
Well, I mean, if she were anything in Batman, she would be like
a damsel in distress.
No, not
no,
a damsel.
No,
she,
no,
she would
no.
be. She would be like. She'd
type?
Be Batgirl. I mean, she would.
Oh
be,
yeah, yeah. She'd be like the heroic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I get you.
But anyway, she used to do these taste test things at the Arizona Republic, and she may still do them, I'm not sure. But one day we all just went to lunch at Denny's to get their grilled cheese sandwich that had mozzarella cheese sticks inside the grilled cheese.
Wow.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was all right. I don't know.
What'd you rate it?
Oh, this was before the Institute.
Oh, and this was a meal
yeah,
too.
It was a meal. It was before the Institute. It's a separate system. I want to say that at the time we were on a 5-star rating system. This is newspaper stuff.
Totally.
It's
yeah.
Not,
this
yeah,
wasn't. Yeah. This isn't the PER system. This
right.
is on pick a snack, eat a snack, rate a snack, scheduled 1 to 10. Can be a 0. Doesn't need to be a 0, but yes, can be a 0. It's not a complicated system.
No.
I mean, I really think anybody could hypothetically do it with the proper training.
Well, it's just a strength of will, I think. People don't understand. I mean, like, I mean, my goodness, you look at Jared. I love the guy, but he can't handle the fact that we, you know, brought up the Seahawks Super Bowl loss and did that kind of explanation of what happened in that football game.
Yeah, right.
I mean, we don't have to say it again. We could.
Well, right.
I mean, they did throw the ball. And
they did.
Anyway.
And they didn't. And like,
yeah.
Right? They had, like, the world's best rusher in the moment, right? And they could have easily just ran it in just for a touchdown.
Lighting the world on fire. It was the same year that he, like, shook the earth. Like, he registered on the Richter scale.
I'm pretty sure it's the same calendar year, if not the same season. But I'm pretty sure that he ran for, like, 60-some-odd yards in the previous play. I don't know. I could be wrong about that.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, it's crazy.
Again,
it's
we're not, we wouldn't bring it up again. That's not something that you.
Yeah, we're not trying to revisit history and say the Seahawks made an enormous mistake and that all their fans should be sad that that was their last shot at glory before the team goes into a pretty significant, terrible rebuilding phase.
Yeah, and the only reason that I bring up that we're not going to bring that up is because.
That the Seahawks blew it.
If that kind of mental torture, like if you can't handle that,
you're
not going to last a week in the institution.
Yeah, you're not ready for the scrutiny of giving, you know, like a hard worked on snack that someone put their, you know, they put their lives in. You know, this week on Unfunny Nerd Tangent, we talked about, you know, Alexander Hamilton and the work that Lin-Manuel Miranda put into that play. And to think that somebody would put that kind of work, that kind of love, care, sweat, and tears into a snack cake, only for Tim and I to come around and give it a 2.0 and a 2.5. Like, that, you're not really prepared for that.
No.
You're not really prepared to hold on to the mental anguish of that. So I think right now, what we should first do before we do anything else is I think we should welcome in our viewers. And I know they're not viewers. I know they're listeners.
But they know that they're viewers.
They know they're viewers. And we know that they're listeners. But I'd like to welcome in our viewers to this week's episode of Derek and Tim Eat Snacks.
Derek and Tim eat snacks on the internet.
we are parked in a car right now outside of McDonald's, and we are watching someone knock on the door to go inside because they are currently closed.
She's going to work right now.
Yeah, and it's weird. And it was awkward. We're leaving this in though because I'm not editing this out.
No, we're just in my car. Yeah, we typically we're not even in the same
room.
House.
Yeah,
yeah, we're all the
zip
way across
code.
Town in like one of the largest towns that you can be across in America.
Pretty much.
Eating separate snacks in separate rooms, but now we're in one car because the McDonald's is closed. We had plans to go sit at McDonald's.
We were going to go sit inside of McDonald's. However, the aforementioned Hamilton podcast took place tonight, and it allowed Tim and I to come out at 11:30 at night, try to sneak our way into a McDonald's to record this podcast and bring you guys a proper rating on tonight's snack. However, our plans were thwarted. So Tim and I are going to proceed to record this entire podcast while sitting in the car, and we're going to pop over and drive through in a second, get ourselves some nuggets and tonight's snack, because the nuggets, the McNuggets, they're not the snack.
No.
This is one of those rare cases where Tim's, I'm sure, conflicted deep down inside more than any of our viewers are, because Tim, more than anything, hates when people confuse a meal for a snack.
I've been thinking about this a lot.
I'm sure you have.
And what McDonald's, what their play is now, is they want to change the relationship that we have with them. They want to change our eating paradigm.
How so?
They don't want us to just think of McDonald's as a place where you go get a meal anymore.
You don't go there just for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, is
right.
What you're saying.
They want to be your Starbucks, and they want to be your Circle K. They want to be your convenience store. They don't want you to go fill up a 44-ounce Thirst Buster at the gas station anymore. They want you to go drive through McDonald's and get a large soda for $1.
$1. Not sure if that's everywhere, but it's here in Phoenix.
Yeah,
for sure.
Is. Yeah, I mean, we're
$1.
Yeah,
large beverage, whatever beverage.
Yeah, I think it's like $1 any size. Like you choose the size, and if you order a medium drink, they're like, "Are you sure?
Are you sure you don't just
you
want
sure
a large?
You don't just want? I mean, it's the same price. You could just have more.
Come on,
soda.
Fatty.
Yeah, I
come
mean,
on.
Who are you trying to fool?
Yeah, don't act like you don't want more of this.
Yeah,
right. Well, and it's interesting because The McNugget definitely is one of those items. I mean, yeah, a lot of things that are snacks could be made in a mass quantity, put on a plate with a side, and boom, you got yourself a meal.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Shit, I had pot stickers for dinner last night.
I had pizza rolls and cheese-filled meatballs.
Yeah, there you go.
And all I did was pair it with a little side of the instant pasta shit I'm not a fan of. Wasn't good. But anyway, you know, like the instant pasta, it's like Alfredo or whatever. It takes like 10 seconds to make. Anyway, regardless, yeah, you can make anything into a meal. But you can also keep snacks as snacks. Yeah. And I will say that of all the things I consider when I'm driving on a long road trip, it's going to be a bag of Doritos, nacho cheese. It's going to be a bag of sour Skittles for the sugar rush. And it's probably at some point going to be a 20-piece chicken nugget that I'm going to put in my console and I'm going to snack out of periodically while I drive across this great nation.
Now, the challenge there is how good are you at dipping and driving?
Oh, no.
Oh?
No.
No?
I'm not good at that. A lot of times, I will just straight up eat naked chicken nuggets, which sounds sacrilegious, but I will say that since being a small child, I have loved the McDonald's chicken McNugget more than most things. I love the flavor of it. As a matter of fact, I was furious when they decided to switch over to that all-white meat aberration that they came out with not too long ago, and then they went back. That all white meat crap was terrible.
I thought they were still all white meat.
No, they're not all white
meat. Okay, I don't know.
No, they reversed it.
I didn't think they changed the flavor too badly when they... I'm not sure now.
Oh,
every
I tasted
time,
it.
Every time all they try there. To do it. It's funny because now they have these buttermilk crispy tenders. Like, I remember when I was in high school, they came out with these things called Chicken Selects that were probably almost exactly the same as this. But I don't want to heap too much abuse on the chefs at McDonald's. Because they've already taken a lot of heat on the internet, and I've learned about this because I've done my research on this snack that we're about to eat.
All right,
and my research was by listening to a whole podcast that McDonald's sponsored through Gizmodo and I guess The Onion, which I think is all owned by America Online. It used to be
really weird,
isn't it weird?
It's weird. But before we go any further, I think that we should just let our listeners/viewers know about tonight's snack, because we're going to talk about it a lot. We've kind of told you already what it's going to be. I think you already have an idea. I think if you've been paying attention to the snack game, you'll know exactly what we're doing. Sitting out here parked in a McDonald's parking lot at 12:02 a.m. on a Friday night in a very bad part of town.
Oh, it's not that.
It's not that bad. But Tim, if we got shot and killed out here right now, there would be a very small headline.
Two men killed
in McDonald's parking lot. What they were doing out there, I have no idea. But they probably deserved it.
If we got shot and killed right now, we'd probably get tweeted by Dan Harmon.
Oh,
it'd be worth it,
man.
It'd be worth it.
Damn it, Tim. Our lives are worth more than that. But tonight's snack is affected by Dan Harmon. It is affected by those little jokesters over there at Rick and Morty. And I blame that Justin Roiland for this happening. But tonight's snack is the very elusive, very, very sought after McDonald's Szechuan sauce.
McDonald's Szechuan sauce.
Family, Morty, and if you tell your mom or sister I said any of this, I'll deny it, and they'll take my side because I'm a hero, Morty. And now you're gonna have to go and do whatever I say, Morty, forever. And I'll go out and I'll find some more of that Mulan Szechuan teriyaki dipping sauce, Morty, because that's what this is all about, Morty. That's my one-armed man. I'm not driven by avenging my dead family, Morty. That was fake. I'm driven by finding that McNugget sauce. I want that Mulan McNugget sauce, Morty. That's my series arc, Morty. If it takes 9 seasons, I want my McNugget dipping sauce.
It's the Szechuan sauce, Morty.
It's here.
It's my one-armed man.
9 more seasons until I get
that dipping Szechuan sauce. 9
seasons.
Was when Rick goes off, like, was that just Justin Roiland
riffing?
Yeah, in that season three premiere, was he just kind of freestyling like Rick just on a rant about Szechuan sauce?
Well, here's the interesting thing about that. One, I find it fascinating that Rick and Morty is so culturally significant that two years ago, because it was in Dallas for WrestleMania, and we were all sitting in the hotel room watching the season three premiere of this exact subject, the Szechuan sauce ending the episode.
No, that was just last year, April Fool's Day, I think.
Was it last year?
It dropped, yeah. I think it was April 1st, 2017.
Okay. Well, either way, I thought Josh was there and Josh wasn't with us in Orlando, but he could have been. I'm all over the place with my WrestleManias. Hmm. Anyway, regardless, we were in our hotel room watching this episode. Now, if you've seen this episode, the thing about it is that Rick is being probed by some aliens to give up the secret to his portal gun. That's essentially what their motivation is. And what you believe you're learning in this premiere episode for season three is how Rick became Rick. What exactly drove him to become Rick? And the big thing there is it's supposed to be this big emotional reveal after two seasons here that it's, you know, this thing with his daughter, that his daughter was killed in this freak accident, essentially driving him to create the portal gun and go to a different, you know, universe or timeline and bring back a different version of his daughter. However, that was Rick just fucking with us and the aliens. And in actuality, at the end, it is revealed that his true motivation is to go back and find the Szechuan sauce from the Mulan promotion from 1998. And I loved that so much at the time because the point of it was obviously that Rick's motivations aren't anything of substance. It's frivolous. It's bullshit. And the creators of the show literally just wanted to think of the most inane thing that no one else would desire or want or think about. Like, they were like, remember that Mulan sauce, the Szechuan sauce that really sucked that nobody wanted? Remember that?
It was an inside joke because Justin Roiland, the co-creator of the series, apparently was a big fan of the sauce and has fond memories of it from back in the day.
I'm sure that there's real feelings tied to it, and knowing those guys, it is probably exactly that, like just something that they themselves remember and liked, and that's it, right? But to put it in an episode and have it affect a chain like McDonald's to the point where
it was a key part of the episode. It was in there in multiple ways. The supposed day that Rick becomes Rick is during the Szechuan sauce Mulan promotion. And
I'm going to say this was 2016 just because of the fact that I don't feel like the Szechuan sauce would have come out 4 months after the episode aired. But I could be wrong about that. And I know I'm bringing this whole snack podcast that doesn't rely. And we don't need this information. We didn't go to the Institute to be experts on cartoons or facts. We went to the Institute to be experts on snacks. And see, now what's happened is I was doing the Hamilton podcast for so long that now I'm starting to freestyle rap.
I am not throwing away my snacks. April 1st, 2017.
Oh, man, that just seems...
And it was, I mean, it's...
Time passes, because
it's the timeline from McDonald's perspective is a bizarre thing. And if you haven't been paying attention, they just released this sauce the very end of February 2018, in which we are right now, and concurrently they released this podcast that I was talking about, which is, if you're interested in it, it's worth a listen. It's about 40 minutes. It takes a very kind of journalistic approach to interview some of the fans and some of the people at McDonald's. They never once say the words Rick and Morty. They never say the word Mulan.
Interesting.
Which is very weird. I don't know what kind of legal situation they're tiptoeing around.
I know that the creators of Rick and Morty were upset about McDonald's not reaching out to them in any way when it was blatant that they were riding the Rick and Morty notoriety and success into doing this special limited edition release of the sauce that they did in August of 2017. However,
it was in October. It was the they make a big deal about this in the podcast. That's the only reason I know. But they're like the first Saturday in October, and I think the podcast kind of exaggerates those events a little bit. They say that people were rioting in the streets. I don't think it was quite that bad. I know the fans got unruly. I don't think anybody got violent.
Yeah, no. I think the problem was, from the stories I saw, it was that there were people lined up in a significant line, and the people that work at McDonald's could have easily come out and said, hey, guys, we're only going to have like 20 of these sauces.
And so they only did. Every store that participated got 20 packs of sauce.
Right.
And 20 packs of Szechuan sauce.
My understanding was they weren't even putting a limit one per customer, were they?
I think they were, but it didn't really... I mean, when you have a line of 200 people and you have only 20 sauce packets...
Yeah, it doesn't matter. And so the problem is that they're not coming out... Like, I don't like to waste my time. I can't tell you how many times I've been out to an early release of something or a limited release, and when I got there, you know, at like midnight or Black Friday or whatever... There was some guy at the door who I truly appreciated who was like, hey, man, you here for that thing? Yep, I'm here for that thing. We're all sold out. These all people already got them all. And I'm like, cool. At the very least, even though I came all the way down here, I didn't waste my time waiting in any kind of line.
Or even if the people in the line, like somebody has managed the line and people know expectations are managed for that event.
Sure. The Nintendo Classic was a perfect example. They managed it so well. They came out like 30 minutes before the store opened. They handed us all our tickets so we didn't actually have to wait in line. It was a beautiful experience, and and they let us police the other people that came up and wanted to stand in line because we were like, hey, man, you ain't got one of these. You ain't getting one. You know, that kind of thing, right? With the sauce, it was different. It was poorly handled.
Yeah. Well, and they should have known. No, McDonald's didn't, you know, a lot of these McDonald's are franchise-owned. The people who own and operate the McDonald's aren't getting a lot of instruction from corporate as far as what to do.
Yeah.
It was part of this special event that they were already sort of planning around the release of these buttermilk tenders, and they did not anticipate the demand for the Szechuan sauce. And the biggest question I had when I was listening to this podcast is, why didn't they make more? And I guess the answer to the question, the most satisfying answer that I could come away with, was that they were able to replicate the old recipe to their satisfaction. They took it to one supplier, and the supplier was like, well, we can get you 4,000 packets or something like that, or however many, 2,000, 4,000, whatever that number was. And they were like, okay. And they just did it.
Sure.
And that was, you know, nobody pushed it, because it was... It was basically PR people trying to make product decisions, too. It's a whole... McDonald's has, like, entirely separate teams, these people who don't work together.
Right.
You know, the people who make the sauce are not the people who handle the promotions and stuff like that. The people who manage the Twitter account and who understand what's going on out in the world.
Well, you could tell that the promotion department didn't have a connection with the legal department, because the way that they promoted it was fully riding on the coattails of Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
The Szechuan sauce, when it came out in October, literally had a little alien inside of a spaceship on it. Now, what the fuck that has to do with Szechuan sauce is beyond me, but it sure has a lot to do with Rick and Morty, you know?
Yeah.
And they had a little poster that came with it as well, right. I remember.
If you were lucky enough, or if you were early enough, really, it had nothing to do with luck. It had everything to do with getting to the McDonald's really fucking early, and which wasn't an option for some people. Like in this podcast, they interview this young couple who drove from, I think, Ottawa to Syracuse, because that was their closest McDonald's. I'm not sure if I have the Canadian town right. Somewhere, they had to cross the Canadian border, drive to Syracuse, New York, that was the McDonald's that they were able to go to.
The dedication that people have. And I think that sometimes, in today's day and age, is what impresses me and annoys the shit out of me. Because I am amazed how people will come out sometimes for things that I also am coming out for.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, when we went to the Rickmobile, when that came to town, as an example of just the lengths that Rick and Morty fans are willing to go to celebrate the show. Because really, I mean, it was just going out to buy random stuff.
It's a merch stand.
It was a merch stand.
It's a driving merch stand.
It was a beautiful piece of art that they made. They turned this giant truck into Rick.
And it was a gorgeous day, like really cool,
it was
like
a nice day.
Cloud background for the day, for the pictures, everything like that.
I'm glad that I'm really glad that we went.
Oh, yeah. But it was really one of those experiences where it was more about the promotion of it. Yeah. And, like, even with the stuff I bought, like, I so didn't give a shit about it after I bought the stuff. Like, I was glad I didn't spend more money. I'm glad they only allowed me to buy so many. They, like, they limited you to, like, two items.
Like, I bought the tin spaceship and gave that to my sister, which actually turned out to be really cool.
Oh,
when she finally opened it up, it's a beautiful collectible. And then I got the inflatable desktop Mr. Meeseeks, who's like a tube man that you plug into a USB.
It's amazing.
It's really nice.
It's so good. But yeah, I mean, that's really what it comes down to, is our fandom for one other thing led us to this quest
and
for Szechuan sauce.
For me, McNugget sauce is, I mean, it's an important part of my life, right? Like, Chicken McNuggets were my go-to thing in a Happy Meal.
Yes.
You know, and since then, I don't always, I guess I don't really get McNuggets as a snack either. I get them as kind of like a side dish. Like, I'll do the McPick 2 where I get a Big Mac with nuggets, you know? Maybe like do nuggets instead of fries.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
We can just go in now. He propped the door. We can bust into McDonald's right now. Oh, shit. No, we gotta.
We can have all the access to all the Szechuan sauce we want. All right. Well, I think that the drive-thru is calling our names.
Yeah, it is.
But we're gonna continue this discussion while we go through the drive-thru.
Did we mention that we're just in my car right now?
We did. We mentioned that. Yeah, no, it's all right. People are okay. They're coming on the journey with us. This is the snack journey. Sometimes it happens, you know, whenever.
I mean, sometimes we have to go to our fridges or microwaves. Sometimes we have to open up a bag.
See, if Tim and I were eating this at 8 o'clock without having had dinner, then there's a good chance that we wouldn't be able to actually classify this as a snack.
Yeah, we're rating this as a snack. How many nuggets are we getting?
I think we should just split a 20-piece.
Hi, I would just like a 20-piece Chicken McNugget with as much Szechuan sauce as you can give us. That's all.
Oh, we didn't have any problems getting the Szechuan sauce. Oh, she said signature sauce.
She's rang us up for signature sauce.
Signature sauce.
I would just like to note that signature sauce is garbage.
Oh, I'll fight you on that. It's totally a Cane's copycat.
It's a copycat of Cane's sauce, right? Is that what you said it was?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I've turned a corner on Raising Cane's. I didn't like it the first time I had it, but I went back.
I like it.
And I like it now. I would like more sauce options. There was this incredible, but the Chicken McNugget sauce growing up, like I was I liked the hot mustard sauce as a kid for some reason. Mustard.
You and my wife. My wife loves the hot mustard to this day.
They don't have it anymore.
They don't.
They scrapped it because now they have like.
No, they still have hot mustard.
No, I don't think they have it.
I guarantee they do. I know because I'm instructed to get it every time I come to McDonald's.
And they still. Nuggets. I thought they got rid of it, man.
Yeah,
I'm happy to hear that it's still around.
Yeah.
I don't know. But at some point,
their sauce is a key to their nuggets, right? I mean, like, it's so crazy the way that they the way they control their sauce.
Every one of those sauces is, I mean, it's just a different kind of flavor of sugar syrup that you can splash on your nugget.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you get this kind of combo. I don't think that this window, I think I can just.
No, I don't. I think you're at the dead window.
But we got to make sure they don't give us signature sauce.
Oh, that's a must.
But do you like the signature sauce?
I do like the signature sauce. I like a lot of sauces at McDonald's.
Like, I had it once. I don't like it so much.
When I was a kid, I used to completely violate the sauce rule. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that the reason why they cap the number of sauces you can get at McDonald's is because of guys like me.
People like you. I did the same thing. Well,
I wouldn't even eat most of it, Tim.
Do you like
it
ketchup?
It was such a waste.
Do you like ketchup?
Oh, I used to love ketchup on my nuggets.
I used to love ketchup on everything until I was about 5 years old, and then I just kind of quit.
Yeah.
I just decided.
I was a little bit older than
done
that.
With ketchup.
But yeah, no, I mean, I had a weird thing of developing flavor.
Hi. All right,
here we go.
Yeah. You gotta get one more dollar.
Oh, I have another dollar.
I think I have a dollar.
If you don't, I do.
I have a dollar.
All right. I think the big question here is...
And did you get the Szechuan sauce?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
She rang it up a signature sauce, but we want to make sure. Yeah. All right. So, the Szechuan sauce is interesting because it's very polarizing. I feel... feel like there are people that remember it and like it. Like, they either love it or they just were not down for it. So it makes me wonder if the people who weren't down for it actually remember it, or if they're just saying that because Szechuan sauce doesn't sound good and I don't want any of that.
I will. Thank you. She gave us extra.
Oh, she's so a blessed soul. Yeah. She's like, these guys are doing a podcast. They're psychologists. I know exactly what they're doing.
She had to have known that we were doing a podcast. Should I pull up over here? We're a little removed from the restaurant.
Yeah, that way we can look out for the people that were going to murder us that we were talking about earlier.
Right.
Oh, yeah. She gave us lots of Szechuan sauce, too. Here you go. I'm going to give you those two. Oh,
this is awesome.
All right. You want to park the car, I think.
Oh, I should just turn off the...
Yeah, that's probably a good
turn
idea.
Turn off the engine here.
Yeah, because no one wants to hear the engine.
I don't think they have a 20-piece box anymore. They just give you two 10-piece
boxes.
Yeah,
they give you two 10-piece boxes, and they gave us the max, the six.
Oh, six sauces.
I told you. See, like, I'm cute enough that when I come through, they give me six sauces. Yeah. My 20-piece.
I got one really mangled nugget, though.
Oh, I hate that. I hate when your nuggets are mangled.
Yeah.
That's both a figurative and a literal thing, you know?
Yeah. So the Szechuan sauce. So I don't remember it. That's my confession. I don't know what I was doing in 1998 where I was too good to get Szechuan sauce at McDonald's.
You know what I was? That was like my sophomore year, or no, my junior year in high school. And I really wasn't down for promotional stuff like that. Like, you couldn't get me at the time with stuff like that. I felt like I was above it all.
I used to always jump on the promotional thing at McDonald's, and I'm still kind of like that. I always get the seasonal beer. I always get the limited time pumpkin spice Kit Kats or whatever.
It's because you live life, Tim. Trust me.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why I enjoy the entire Steel Cage crew and the network of friends I've made based on me meeting them is because you all of you fuckers live life in a way I appreciate and I've emulated and I have been inspired by. And that's no joke, just based on our snack history. I mean that. Like, we literally do things that I myself never thought I would do on my own. I never thought I would go to WrestleMania. I never thought I would do half the shit that I do. The reason why I look at you guys is because, you know, part of making that first step is having confidence that what you're going to do is going to be fun and it's going to be worthwhile and it's not going to be terrible, you know. And, you know, to see people like, the you know, Josh and Adam go to New Orleans when they first went years ago and I missed out on that trip. Oh, man, I had such a sense of regret of not doing it, you know. And that's the thing about it is that you when you go through a period where you stop, like, celebrating holidays and, you know, I don't know, like, even stuff like this, like, you get so set in your ways, you go to your place and you're like, yeah, I'm not getting the seasonal stuff. I'm getting the regular sauce that I always get. Well, fucking live a little, man. Get the seasonal stuff. You never know. You might find something you absolutely love, you know?
Yeah.
I became all about that, especially with McDonald's, with their Shamrock Shakes and their...
Oh, Shamrock
and their
Shakes.
McRibs. All this, all the crap, all the terrible,
Shamrock
terrible
are
food.
Fantastic. I can remember some of like the one-off promotional items. I remember the like there was a superhero burger when one of the Batman movies
came
out.
Yes, yes. I was just talking about that.
It was like a wide hoagie roll, but they like spread three regular burger patties across it. It had like mayo on it.
It didn't even make any sense.
Nope, not any goddamn sense at all. But
it was
remember
for
it.
The first Batman movie. Yes, it was.
I thought it was like Batman Forever. I don't even know.
Oh man.
I collected a lot of Batman shit from McDonald's.
I am ready to dig into some Szechuan sauce. Are you ready to do this? All right, let's do this. I'm trying it. Yeah, I'm not
getting it. Oh, no, he's eating the...
Welcome to McDonald's. Can I take your order?
Yeah, I'd like to get a 10-piece McNugget and a bunch of the Szechuan sauce. Like, as much as you're allowed to give me. As much as you're allowed to give me. As much as you're allowed to give me. Szechuan sauce, Szechuan sauce, and it's delicious, and it's delicious. Szechuan sauce, Szechuan sauce, and it's delicious, and it's delicious. Szechuan sauce, Szechuan sauce, and it's delicious, and it's delicious. Szechuan sauce, Szechuan sauce. Szechuan sauce.
Bubba Dubba Dubba!
Man, that's good. You know what I like about that? Well, it's Szechuan sauce, right? So you feel like it should give it an Asian flavor type kick.
Yeah.
It does.
It does. Yeah, that's right. It has... It's almost like every Asian sauce that you'd expect from a Chinese restaurant. Like,
right.
All kind of mixed together. It's like it's like a little bit hoisin, a little bit soy, a little teriyaki.
Yep. It's a dash of all of it.
Yeah. It's not, as some fans were trying to say, like, oh, if you just mix together the sweet and sour and barbecue sauce, you get the Szechuan sauce.
No, bullshit. You said that you're a liar and you should feel ashamed of yourself.
You should. I think those people know. They've crawled back into their holes and they're...
Sure, that's what the color might look like.
Yeah, you could definitely approximate this color if you did that. Maybe even the consistency. It's similar in consistency to the sweet and sour sauce for sure.
Yeah, you're not getting that taste though. You got the ginger flavor in there.
Yeah, it's... What I also... like about this is it is so unmistakably a McDonald's nugget sauce.
Yeah.
Like it just...
Yeah, you know that this is like...
Yeah.
Sweet and Sour's cousin.
Right.
Hey, Sweet and Sour, I'm coming over this weekend. Not you again.
All right. Okay, that's my half-Asian cousin. Maybe Sweet and Sour's when it's half-Asian and Szechuan is when it's all the way Asian.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I'm not full. I'm just satisfied. I'm happy. The sauce makes me happy.
Yeah, it's
the nuggets make me happy. It releases a dopamine in my brain that has been there since I was a child.
Me too. And we were tired when we came over here.
Yeah.
And this is just invigorating me now that we're eating the Szechuan sauce.
Oh, I feel ready to go. I could podcast about Hamilton for another hour and 45 minutes.
There's just no end of things to say about Hamilton.
It must be nice to have Szechuan on your side. More than anything.
The S-Z-E-C-H-U-A.
I like
N-S-A-U-C-E. Yay.
Oh, man. You're a snackling Manuel Miranda. I like any snack that makes me, like, look off in the distance meaningfully as I eat it. That's what I feel like I was just doing.
Yeah, I'm just staring across the road at, like, Nails and Spa. Uh-huh.
There's a Barrow's Pizza over there.
Yeah, it's right next door to the gym that I go to.
Aww. There's a Taco Bell and a Barrow's Pizza right next to the gym. I know.
The pizza place usually isn't open when I go to the gym in the mornings. So there's no temptation to get pizza.
Oh, boy.
But Taco Bell is.
Oh, that bastard, that Taco Bell.
Yeah.
So all things considered, I know. Szechuan sauce and nuggets might not be a snack for some of you.
Yeah, it's a snack for us now. We've definitely reached a point in our night when we've made this a snack, and I think a lot of times sometimes whether or not something is a snack comes down to will.
Yeah,
like can you make it a snack? Do you have it in you to snack on this and not? You know, not sit down and eat it with a knife and fork, make it a meal.
Well, when we were in the Institute, they ran several classes on this. There was an intro to snacking versus meals. There was meal theory. There was there was several different, like, specified courses that, like, tried to teach you as a snackologist to... I'm going on too much, right?
No, that's all right. Too much? Well... What people don't realize is they fed us meals. Like, we had to go eat meals separately from our snacks.
Right.
And that was
It was oddly part of the training, even though we didn't know it.
I thought we would just snack all day.
I did,
like, that
too.
That was what I expected going in there. I was like, yeah, you know, we don't even have to eat meals because, you know, I had a pretty good-sized snack this morning.
Well, that's why the physical regimen came into play.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's why they had us running on the hamster wheel. But it was all because...
I miss drinking water from those bottles.
Remember that?
I can't find a man-sized hamster bottle anymore.
I just want one for my office. It's weird because you just get used to it, and then you don't know life any other way. Like, you don't know drinking from a cup anymore. You're just like, I need to press my tongue up against a tiny metal ball and allow water to pour into my mouth. Oh, I mean, these are the things, though, that you miss about college, right? I mean, college is such great times.
It's the same way that if you went to a regular college, you're like, you're drinking beer from a glass, and you're like, you know what I miss? Beer bongs.
Right. Who does that as an adult in regular day? It's Thursday at 3 p.m. Let's do a beer bong. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Yeah, same thing. That's a good comparison. Oh, man, the hamster wheel.
Yeah.
Anyway,
my lights just decided to go off.
Well, yeah, it's had it. Yep. It says it's time. I just hope your car starts.
It will.
The big thing here is that, realistically, Tim and I are qualified snackologists, so regardless of what you think or say, we are the ones that are allowed to classify these foods. And frankly, there's a lot of variables that come into it, especially that's what we learn mostly in meal theory, is that these variables that play into whether or not something's a snack, there's too many variables. There's too many qualifications that you have no idea. You don't know where we're at. Like, we could be bullshitting you. Tim and I might be in our houses, like, separately eating this. That lady, that could have been a sound effect. The whole thing with Tim driving and going through the drive-thru, that might have all been bullshit. Bullshit. Hollywood magic. Smoke and mirrors. You know? But no, that's not the case. Tim and I are actually out here.
I had to stop for a second and be like, wait a second, is this real?
Right. No, we're here. We are in the streets of Phoenix. We are on 24th Street. What are we? Broadway?
Baseline?
Jesus. Let me put it this way. This is the part of town, whether Tim doesn't want to admit this, he lives here. He loves this area. It's a great area.
It's getting better.
It's a beautiful area. We are in an area that if the news found out we died in this parking lot, we would be a blip on the news. We'd be like, another man was killed at 24th Street and Baseline. That's what it would be. But we are out here at, what time is it now? 12:31 a.m. And we are eating nuggets, and we are rating this sauce for our viewers. And we know you're not viewers. We know you're listeners, but you're viewers.
I just got to say that chicken McNuggets are a really good, like, literal midnight snack.
Oh, such a good midnight snack.
I'm not sure I've ever actually eaten chicken McNuggets at midnight or, like, just enough after midnight that we could turn into gremlins now.
Oh, don't get wet. And they're an all-inclusive snack. Like, you might feel like you need to get french fries with them because you're at McDonald's, but you don't.
But you don't. The nuggets can be the french fries.
They really are. They really are.
You can dip your french fries in nugget sauce, too, if the McDonald's aren't too stingy. If they'll hook it up with some extra nugget sauce, you don't need ketchup.
You just gotta be cute like me.
Yeah.
You can get yourself 3 extra Szechuan sauces. Use all those Szechuan sauces on all your fries. You're living the good life. Ratings?
So, could the expectations have been higher for Szechuan sauce?
No.
It's impossible. Just a sky-high thing. And, like, to McDonald's credit, they have acknowledged their mistake in not producing enough Szechuan sauce. They've done about as much as they can to try to clarify what went wrong. The best apology that they can give us is based on the fact that they made, what, 20 million of these? Is that right?
They made a lot.
You can get them at every U.S. McDonald's right now. I assume it's for a limited time, but if it's popular, they'll continue to make them. They haven't committed to it.
I went at 10:30 a.m. the day that they released them just to make sure I got some.
Yeah.
And now we are...
I still, like, when I have an extra pack, like I didn't eat all three of the packs
that I
had. I'm definitely gonna like squirrel these away.
You're not throwing them out. You're putting them in the refrigerator. You're keeping them under lock and key.
Because yeah, you never know when it's gonna be another 20 years before you can get this sauce again.
It's bizarre.
And then all of a sudden, like, yeah.
Especially McDonald's, that does such a good job of rotating things in, like we described earlier, the McRib, the Shamrock Shake. You're never getting those two things at the same time, by the way. You're never getting a McRib and a Shamrock Shake at the same time. Right?
Could you imagine that meal?
Yeah. With some McNuggets on the side and some Szechuan sauce? That's never going to happen. But they should do a better job at incorporating it in regularly. When I went at 10:30 in the morning, I had the girl straight up look at me and say, "What's so special about this sauce? You are the third car in a row." At 10 o'clock in the morning.
So you went exactly at 10:30 when they switch over to start making
McNuggets. From breakfast to lunch, yes. Yeah. Yes, I was right there. Right,
you can
at
get
that
breakfast
moment.
All day, but you can't get nuggets all day.
Right. You can't get lunch early. Now,
because I just asked them for it when I was driving through that day. I got breakfast for my kids.
And they gave it to you?
And they gave it to me.
Yeah, see, she told me she couldn't even sell it to me separately. And she didn't know what was so special about it. So then I basically told her it's from a TV show and you guys sold out of it. It's hard to describe.
And the other good thing that's on McDonald's is that they're not making us buy these buttermilk chicken tenders.
Oh, that was your fear.
I don't want to.
You thought they were going to force that upon us.
I just don't want that. I to evaluate this sauce properly, you got to eat it with McNuggets. If we were eating the buttermilk tenders, then we would be rating buttermilk tenders.
Oh God, yes.
Like chicken McNuggets don't need a rating on their own because you know where you are on McNuggets.
Well, I'd rate a McNugget a 9.
Yeah, I would too. It's up there. It's up there with like the peanut M&M.
Yeah.
As near perfection.
Near perfection. Not a no name cake or a mod cake, whatever they call them. No name cake.
No name cake.
Yeah. But yeah, the Szechuan sauce is good. Is it my favorite sauce? No, not really.
It's my favorite. I still like the sweet and sour sauce more.
However,
I don't know. I don't feel like it's an important exercise to try to rank Szechuan sauce in the pantheon of McDonald's sauces.
Oh yeah, no, it's not. It belongs there.
It sure does.
It's in the ring of honor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It boldly like shoulders in with those other sauces and says, I am one of you, and I belong here.
So what you're eating?
I'm gonna give it an 8.
God damn it. Because sometimes I feel, here's what I feel. I feel like, remember when I used to get mad at you in the Institute and I was like, stop copying off me all the goddamn time? And then you would like change one answer and then you knew which one I got wrong. So you would get a 90 and I'd get an 86. It's the same shit with our rating schedule. I let you go first right now because I feel like you typically just piggyback on my rating and go a half a point higher. Right? Well, I am sitting here this entire time with the rating of 7.5 in my head, and you pull out an 8. It's like a magic trick.
I had to go.
I don't even know how you do it.
Is this your card?
Yeah.
It's half a card below that.
It's totally my card.
Close to your card.
Oh, man. Yeah, so mine's 7.5.
Yeah. If I've heard about these hacks. I've heard about making it a little spicier to take it over the top.
See, that's, I feel, to be honest, for me personally, that's what it needs. It's just too sweet.
They make a sriracha keychain. Isn't that a thing, right? Remember the sriracha keychain? I think that's a thing you can have.
You
just carry the sriracha with you wherever you go.
You hit
that up with just a little squirt of sriracha, stir it up with a fry, and all of a sudden you're elevating your sauce to the next level. But we're not here to rate a bespoke sauce. I mean, we've had house-made Szechuan sauce from Alamo Draft House.
Oh, and it was so much better than this.
It was very good. It was, yeah, and it, I mean, it was better than this, but it's not an apples-to-apples comparison because because you're eating that sauce and you're like, this is not
well,
McDonald's
that was a
sauce.
Fancy sauce created by a chef in a kitchen trying to outdo the Szechuan sauce based on a small taste of it.
Yeah.
I will say that Szechuan sauce is like a lot of things in life. Yeah, it might be a little overrated, and it might not be worth all the trouble that some people go through it. I definitely feel sorry for any sad son of a bitch that paid like $20 for a small container of this on eBay or whatever the hell they were going for when they were in super high demand.
Yeah.
But
oh, in the podcast, they interviewed Deadmau5, who bought the gallon that was sold on eBay.
Oh, yeah.
And he said he paid $15,000 for it.
Holy shit.
But then he worked it out with the promoter where, like, he had a show in Toronto and, like, everybody got nuggets with a little Szechuan sauce.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So it wound up, I think it wound up just being kind of an awesome PR move for him.
Sure. I dig it. Yeah. Give them back to the people. That's very Robin Hood, Deadmau5.
And actually, one of the other winners actually went to the failed Szechuan sauce event and started dispensing Szechuan sauce to the people there. Like, that's what he did with his gallon, or whatever half-gallon size bottle.
Yeah, because no one wants the whole gallon to themselves.
Yeah. And so there are some really kind of inspirational acts of sharing happening with these Szechuan sauce out there. It's a mixed bag because we don't... To this day, I don't know what to make of the Rick and Morty fan base. I don't know if I should just embrace it, because I love the show. There's no question.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could fully embrace being a part of this fan base, or if I need to kind of hit the brakes and be like, are we, you know, is this really something that I want to be a part of?
Yeah. Well, okay. I think what it is it goes in waves. This isn't the first time I've seen this happen. I saw it what happened with South Park. Where when the initial, like, merchandise came out for South Park, people went insane for it.
What were they? Was that the plush toys?
Yeah.
The small plush toys.
A couple of other items.
I have a talking Kyle from around then. It was, right. I don't know if it was, like, from the first wave, but it was...
But then they started being available in, like, Spencer's and other things like that. I mean, I still remember the first time I started seeing South Park, like, in, like, Walmart. I was like, oh, wow, South Park, crazy. Yeah. You know, like, it was, like, crazy because for a while there, it was such a cool underground thing.
And it was even niche when it, like, you could get them at Borders, I think. I remember Borders had the South Park stuff.
Yeah,
they didn't have them at Walmart at the time. No, I'm talking about the advancement down the way.
Right, yeah.
Now the stuff happens faster, and we just expect stuff. Now you can get, like, Rick and Morty action figures at Target.
Right.
They're not in the aisle with the kids' toys. They're, like, back behind the DVDs and the Funko Pops area.
Well, I came across the McFarlane toys, building sets. They're like Legos, but they're by McFarlane Toys. And I bought Rick's Garage in a heartbeat. Still haven't opened it, still haven't put it together, because I was totally expecting it to be some sort of limited edition, hard to find collectible the first time I found it. And yeah, ever since then, it has been available every single time I've walked inside of a Walmart.
I saw one at Walmart today. I was there earlier today, or, well, technically yesterday.
But it's definitely a cultural phenomenon, and that's something you cannot disagree with, especially with the way that it overtook a company like McDonald's and made them force their hand to ride the wave of popularity, even though they chose not to really integrate Rick and Morty into it.
I think
available.
They played that wrong. I feel like if they were going to acquiesce to Rick and Morty, they should have done some kind of cross promotion. Like, you obviously,
God, yes.
it's too adult for them to do a Happy Meal.
Right.
But you could do a collector cup. You could do...
Remember the collector cup days?
Oh, yeah.
I miss those. They used to have some good collector cups at McDonald's.
They don't have collector cups. All the cups are made of that thin plastic that just screams, like, recycle me. You don't want to reuse that cup.
Yeah, no. Give me a good glass or a good stick plate.
Oh, that's a good adult collectible. They could have had Rick and Morty glasses. Like, McDonald's has always done a kind of a nice job with collectibles like that.
Yeah.
And
they missed the boat.
Yeah,
and it caused weird animosity, and they ran that promotion wrong, that caused them all sorts of negative PR.
Yeah.
Which led to today. Which
and
is where they have
obviously
20
it's still,
million packets out in circulation.
It's still not all the way simpatico when they can't say Rick and Morty in this professionally produced podcast that they paid Gizmodo to make for them.
Right. You know they wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah.
There had to be some sort of gag order, not to mention it at all, but...
Yeah, I mean, its absence is conspicuous.
Well, yeah, because it's like, hey, we made this thing popular and you're not even going to acknowledge... us. So, whatever. But at the same time, too, you know what? I'm glad I was able to get my fix, and I still think it's definitely solid snack sauce.
I thought what they were going to do, I had this idea in my head that they were going to wait for the live-action Mulan to come out.
I thought so too.
Because we know that Disney is making a Mulan.
Yeah.
Like they're.
I think it's because they pushed it back. I just saw the other day that it got pushed back.
Is that right?
Yeah. So I think that might have had a little bit to do with why all of a sudden we saw this come out. But regardless, I'm just glad it's here. And you know what? Get it while you can, because everything at McDonald's, it won't be around forever.
Yeah. So. Live your life. You gotta. You just got to get it. You got to try this one.
That's the theme of every single one of our podcasts. That and, you know, a couple of other things that we kind of take care of business at the end. But one of the main themes is live your goddamn life. Live the best life that you possibly can live. There's people next to us now staring at us. They're going to fucking kill us. No, this is what I was talking about earlier.
I don't think they're going to. I was wondering what podcast they're recording.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're recording. They're recording Rick and Morty podcast.
They're recording one of those, like, everybody loves to listen to these live murder podcasts.
Yep.
Where you just murder other podcasters in the dead of night.
Oh, I knew it. I told you.
You guys got us.
Well, maybe I'll see you next week.
Right. Maybe I'll see you next week.
All right. Fuck Nazis.
Fuck Nazis.
And those guys that are going to kill us.
This sauce is f***ing amazing. You said it was promoting a movie?